Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
To get to where I'm at right now, which I still consider very well the beginning, it's all been through networking and getting to know new people and building that human resource. I love it. Talking and making friends does thankfully come easy to me. And that's how I view human capital, really, is that right there.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Zip, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
It's in the hole.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Capital Hacking begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, this is Josh McCown, host of the Capital Hacking Show, and the world famous Entrepreneurs Huckrel host, Eric Cabral.
Hello. Wonderful to be here.
Hey, Eric. It's cool, man. Hey, buddy. You and I know one of us is always traveling the world each week, it seems. last week, I got to be with the world's best real estate investment group called the Real Estate Guys Radio. They do conferences. I mean, you and I know. We've talked about it. I've been on their cruise. My wife and I, we've been on several seminars. We've even had a chance to speak and be on their radio show. They're incredible. It's Russ Gray and Robert Helms, of course.
Yep, absolutely. We've had them on the show.
Yeah, we had Russell Gray on the show. And here's the thing, though. This time I came back with a catch. I caught somebody, okay? We caught Adam J. Carswell. He happened to be at my table when we were doing an exercise, and the guy just exuded talent and confidence. Is he a millennial? I think he's a millennial, but he has all that incredible millennial energy and talent, all the right kind of good stuff. So I wanted to bring him to our audience. You know, he's at the beginning of his entrepreneurial career. But what we love about him, Eric, is his clear focus is that at the beginning of his career, he needs to focus on human capital development.
Yeah. And he understands it really well. And what's great about his success is that he can inspire, you know, young, you know, that generation that, you know, they can take themselves to the next level and surround themselves with the right people and develop that human capital. So, it's really inspirational. I think people that are in their cars and at the gym and listening to this show are going to be really inspired by Adam because his story, you know, like he said, he wasn't, you know, born and bred an entrepreneur from like his father or his mother. Like he had to start from scratch. So, you know, I really enjoyed that part of his story.
And just to, for the audience, pay attention while you're listening. The guy has some real range. You're going to find out things in this show that blew my mind at. Look, there's this one part of the show that's coming up when you find out about a brand new country that was created. I did not know that. And he's part of the founding fathers, he says. Now,
oh, my God.
You got to hear about that.
I know it's probably going to be the last, if not, it's the first, and most likely the last person that we talked to that was a founding father of a country.
Probably.
That was shocking to listen
even
to.
Even the fact so, that we had stuff. That conversation, we can't wait to bring it to the audience. It's bending my mind because I'm sitting there going, is this anything or is this a thing? It was confusing while we were doing it. I'm like, is this adding value to the amazing group of Capital Hacking? But maybe here's where the value is, Eric, is that the fact that there are people out there creating and generating. We always talk about generating content. I mean, the world is so dynamic. We always think everything's been invented, found, created, but it just hasn't. And it just goes to show, you know, goes to show if you put your head and your heart in the right place and you just start acting and moving, amazing things can be created. That's what Adam's all about. I mean, he's about to be a mogul in real estate. He's around mega influencers in the industry. And to Adam, Eric, did you like how he found a way to get in their circle?
Well, remind me.
Forget. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. He adds value first.
The Eric, audience. Eric, yes,
Eric's
always.
Like doing a shtick here or something. No, but he's always adding.
No, but I want to remind everybody, because you know we've got a pre-roll here that's a record-breaking pre-roll for the folks at home. I just want to have everyone pay attention all the way to the end, because his Law of Attraction segment for us was first. You know, I thought that it was so far-reaching that it inspired me to sort of reevaluate my goals.
Amen, brother. So without further ado, Mr. Adam J. Carswell. Today we have Adam Carswell on the phone. Now, it's a Zoom call. Forgive me. It's not a telephone. It's a Zoom call, and it's being recorded, so you can visit us on YouTube and watch this whole beautiful show. But Adam is a superstar, Eric. We got to meet him in person about a week ago, and I said, this guy has got to meet Eric Cabral. First of all, I think you guys are like two brothers from another mother's. I also think our team and audience and community of Capital Hacking, which is millions strong, maybe hundreds of thousands this week, but they all need to know who Adam Carswell is and what he does. So let me tell you what he does, Eric.
Please.
Without further ado, Adam Carswell. We know him as a real estate entrepreneur, hyper-focused in retail shopping centers and commercial syndication. He's actually the director of Concordia Realty Corporation, and a business development manager at Asim Capital. Combined, both firms have $425 million worth of real estate in 17 countries. I'm sorry, states, not countries.
we can say countries if you want.
Yeah, it will be soon, but there aren't that many countries, so we can't say that. Well, well, I don't know. If you would invest in 17 different countries, you'd be crazy. All right, so teaches professional development course called BANG. You are BANG. Wait till you hear what this course is, Eric. It's how people can define themselves, how they can create and grow and maintain and leverage their network, how to make a world-class impression, establish multiple streams of income. I mean, this guy is going in with a bang and out with a bang. Here's where it gets cool, and this is why I call him your brother, Eric. He is the host of the Lieberland Show, a podcast featuring citizens and associates of a blockchain-based nation, and he is the world-famous host of Dream Chasers, which is a killer podcast. Let me say that again. Dream Chasers host, Adam Carswell. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you for having me, guys. Amazing intro. Probably best I think I've ever had in my life, so thank you.
Josh will do that for a fee. Josh will do that for a small fee. He'll follow you around, and he'll introduce you every time you walk in the room.
Hey, well, you are the world famous host of the Entrepreneur Circle, Mr. Eric.
Why? Thank you. I need you on my corner every single place I go to.
Well, but here's where I think you're getting at, Eric, and this is why, Adam, we're going to sit at your stool, and you're going to teach us. You guys are both totally aware that today's, you know, landscape is all brands need to be on the air. On Air Brands is what Eric Cabral created, one of these incredible companies. And Adam, you're doing the same thing. I mean, you have multiple podcasts. You professionally podcast and produce Cash Flow Connection with Hunter. It's incredible. So maybe I should let the two of you guys talk about the world of social media podcasting for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming in and I'm learning as the audience is. So Adam, yeah, please, if you want to jump into that aspect of your business, and then we could sort of evolve into the rest of your story.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, just talking about podcasting in general, I think that's actually, Eric, why you and I probably did gravitate. For everyone listening, Eric and I actually became digital friends about like a month ago, and then now we're finally getting to talk to each other. But we didn't know that it was going to happen this way.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. So we've been trying to coordinate separate from this show, right, for other reasons. And then, Kismet, you know, and the universe as it is, put us together in other ways. So it's amazing.
Yeah. And so you were on our friend MC Lobster's show, The Cash Flow Ninja, which is an amazing podcast. Probably, I don't know, out of all the podcasts that exist right now, I got to put MC at least top five. I know that I'm sure there's some rankings that maybe you could prove that he's not top five, but I mean, he's just crushing it.
He's absolutely crushing it. Top five to me. He's a huge fan and friend of the show. So yeah, big shout out to MC Lobster and The Cash Flow Ninja podcast.
Yeah. And so that's how I first found out about Eric. Eric was on the show talking about branding, the future of media that we know how it exists today. I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, Eric, you talked about, is how every brand needs to have a media platform now to really, not only like as a preference, like if you want to keep up and be ahead of the game, that's what you have to have. And thankfully, I love getting in front of a camera or microphone and talking. And I'm working on building my own personal brand. I'm 28. I'm going with the flow, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I still envy Josh, the guys and gals that jump in the game so young. I know it's all relative, but I wish at 28 I knew half of what you know now. But the landscape was different. You know, the platforms and the tools that were given today weren't anywhere near what it is, you know, when I was 28. But yeah, kudos to you for building what you're doing and the community that you've grown. So cool. Yeah, but continue.
I have to say also one thing that I noticed. I joked with my friend who I started making YouTube videos with when we were, it was probably 2009 or 2010, and we had a blast with them. They weren't necessarily professional videos. Like, we were probably just going around acting like kids, but we were really creating a decent following. And then we kind of realized, like, oh, we got to grow up and get jobs and stuff. And we kind of shut it down. And I look back on it now and I was like, man, if we would have kept just being kids and having fun, we actually might have, we might not have had to go to school, right? Like that kind of thing. So I see how podcasting is mimicking that wave that I saw with YouTube about 9 or 10 years ago. I just read an article the other day. I sent it over to Josh. He's like, teach me, brother. By 2021, the podcast industry is going to be worth over $1 billion or something ridiculous like that. So I think I'll be able to catch this wave when it comes through now.
Yeah, exactly. You remind me of our friend, Nick Sansanastazo, who we were just talking about. He started out very early in his teens, and he developed the brand without really realizing it. By doing pranks, right, on Vine, you know, which was a big platform at the time. And then, gained some notoriety and followers. And now he's speaking on stages. Now he has this huge brand. But it started off as playing around, you know, just having fun as a kid. Right. And now he's got a business, you know, so it's amazing.
You know who else has a business, Mr. Eric Cabral, is this guy, Adam Carswell. So, Adam, let's get your whole story. They always say, as Eric says, there's got to be some kind of origin story to a guy. You know, I mean, your background is incredible. So teach us how you got into entrepreneurship, how you got into real estate, how you got into teaching, professional development. How did this all begin? What was your origin story?
I have to give another quick plug to my friend Reed Goossens, who hosts Investing in the US. He helped me uncover this one because I never really thought about it. The question that he likes to ask at the beginning of his show is, how did you make your first dollar? That was my Aussie accent. and I thought back to it. I mean, aside from maybe doing chores around the house or something like that, my first job was with my friend's dad owned a lawn care service franchise, and we did door-to-door sales in eighth grade. Knocking on people's doors, asking if they wanted a free estimate for their lawn for the spring or summer or whatever. And, I gotta say that was a good move by them. Cause how are you going to say no to some eighth graders that are, you know, just working, coming up to your door. But, so it all started there. Weed Man Lawn Care Services. And I'll never forget also again, eighth grade, looking at my bank account, and I had like $300 in there. I'm like, man, I am balling right now. Like, I got some money. So that's where it all started. And then I think I had the entrepreneurial epiphany probably early 2016 with a friend of mine. At the time, I was working for Sherwin-Williams, the paint company, and I was managing stores for them in the Washington, D.C. Metro area. And I had a client who just had built a good relationship with. I would give him leads basically. And one time he came back in and kind of slipped me like $100 under the table. He's like, hey, thanks for that. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I feel like I have to pay this guy back now somehow. So I went online to like a Chinese website and ordered a Cristiano Ronaldo knockoff like t-shirt because I just knew that he was a big fan. When it came in, I gave it to him. He was really happy, but I think he could tell it was not handmade, but like custom made. And he was like, oh, I love this. I need shirts for my company too. Do you think you can do those too? And I was like, sure. Yeah. And then after he walked out of the door, I immediately got on the phone with my friend Chaz Irish in Cleveland, Ohio. And I was like, dude, I think I got an idea. Cause he was a designer. I'm like, do you know any way that we can get like shirts made and drop shipped to people, like wholesale type of thing. So we looked into it. And then what we did was open up Leader Shirt. And we were in business for about a year, and we were delivering shirts to mostly painters, and especially in the Hispanic community, because they didn't really have a way to walk into a print shop and feel comfortable ordering some of these things. So we rocked out with that for, like I said, about a year. And that was also the first time that I was getting paid, and it was all coming back to me. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I was working on my real estate license at the time. And as soon as I got my license, I was like, boom, I'm just going into a job where I can eat what I kill. So much to the point, like I said, we were in business for a year because, we finished successful. We finished in the green, you could say, but I just wanted to put more of my energy into my business, and he was doing his own thing as well. But that is where the entrepreneurial spirit first probably sparked.
Man, I like the eighth grade part of that story. I mean, t-shirts are fun too, but an eighth grade story, Eric, the part that got me on that one was, I've actually always had the same idea. What would it be like if a bunch of like little kids knocked on your door and got free estimates? So how did he pay you, by the way? I just got to ask that question for the lawn care service.
we got paid direct deposit. I had my bank account set up at a Painesville Credit Union. I still have that account to this day. Can't say that I use it, but I have it. And we were getting direct deposit in eighth grade. I don't know. Actually, it's a good point. I wonder if that was legal. I don't know.
Probably not. But so what about the teaching courses? I mean, this is what when you and I met, we were in a how to win friends and influence people, actually win funds. We were in a sales training with the real estate guys and Russell Gray and Robert Helms. You and I are hanging with them, and you and I were in a role play. We were in a
role
play.
That's right.
And you just exude energy, man. You are so high energy and great. I was like, this guy's got talent. Then we read your whole background, we realize what you've done. So how did you build an education company and teach Bang?
Yeah, and I have to say, I think that's why we clicked when we were doing that role play, because I was like, wow, this guy sounds like he hosts a podcast. I don't know how else to put it. when you host a show and when you just get comfortable speaking like this on different platforms, you just become good at it. And I guess you can realize it when you see someone else that's doing the same thing. So thank you for that, Josh. And I think it all started with, in regards to me coaching and teaching, I coached college basketball for a point in my career. And that's like a whole another story that we could spend 20 minutes talking about. But basically what basketball did for me, because I did play as well in college and a little bit overseas, basketball helped me realize that I was passionate about leadership. Because I had some friends who were in the coaching industry who just, they had to eat, sleep, and breathe basketball 24/7. They had to win all the time. And I do like to win, but I was just like, this isn't my fit. I like basketball. I don't love it. So I started realizing just getting into different positions of leadership was really where I found a lot of reward and fun. And so after taking the Cashflow Connections mentorship program, which was taught by Hunter Thompson, and probably if it wasn't for Hunter, if you really trace the steps back, we wouldn't be having this call right now either. I took his course and I was like, wow, I think I want to start teaching my own. And so just kind of made a news blast out to my network. Hey, you know, any young professionals or any college students who are looking to take their impact online and professionally to the next level, you know, subscribe here, etc. We ended up having the first full cohort of Bang take place this past March, and we're gearing up for the next one here in a little bit. But basically, what I did was I took the human capital that I had in my life, Josh, I know we're going to maybe talk about that, which was guys like Hunter, guys like MC Laubscher, Lane Kawaoka. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Lane. And so I combined the information that I had learned from them into separate little parts of the course to help teach the students how they can achieve these certain things. And so that's kind of what Bang looks like. If you go to the website, which is bangprogram.cf. It'll probably give a more accurate breakdown of everything that I'm saying right now. But that's kind of where I got the inspiration was I just have fun teaching these young professionals the things that I wish I knew when I was in their shoes.
And how many will you have in the course, you said?
We had 7 go through, maybe 8 actually. Yeah, we had 8. 8 in March and ending March, April, May. Yeah, May, because we have follow-up calls with me as well. So, yeah, we're gearing up for another course here in the fall. I should say summer/fall. And yeah, it's fun. And I would say, you know, it's not the only thing that I do, but it's one thing that I definitely do on the side that I'm really passionate about.
Is that a course that's on a national level, or do you have global students as well?
Thankfully I could say it's international, because I have some Canadian students in my course. Cool. And that's where I'm talking to you from today, Newfoundland, Canada. Another story that we could probably talk for 3 hours about. So whatever direction you want to take it from here.
So that's not home base for you then?
Right now, it actually is.
Oh, it is.
Newfoundland. I'm a digital nomad right now.
Nice. Yep. I love that. Digital. Is BANG an acronym for something?
Yes. Bringing About New Growth.
Woo. I like that. As a matter of fact, okay, so digital nomad, we got to hit at least a little bit about this. Lieberland. Okay. Never heard of it before. I'm looking it up. Tell us how you got involved in Lieberland and what is it?
Yeah, I first got involved with Lieberland officially in late September, early October of this past year, 2018. And I started following Lieberland, I want to say 2017, the spring or summer. I had heard about them. They were a new country that had just been founded April 13th, 2015, between Croatia and Serbia. And founded on the principles of liberty. So you could say, you know, a libertarian country, basically. I always try and stay away from labels, because when you can label something, then it's just, I don't know. I like to keep things unlabeled. But if you had to label it something, libertarian country. And founded by an individual, Vitya Lichka, who was also an entrepreneur and kind of got to a point where he's from the Czech Republic. And him and his counterparts were like, you know what? We're tired of getting it taxed like crazy for all of our hard work and seeing our neighbors kind of live off of it. We're going somewhere where we're not getting taxed anymore. So it kind of reminds me of a little bit of, if you look back to when the US was founded, I mean, that's why a big reason why a lot of people were leaving Europe and coming to the US is because they're tired of Mother England and, you know, the Boston Tea Party, all that stuff. So, so there is a backstory though. In about 2 to 3 months after the country was founded, since it's between Croatia and Serbia. And I should say, Croatia and Serbia both did publicly and legally come out and say, this is not our territory. This parcel of land is not ours. Lieberland's roughly not even 4 square miles. So it's a very small piece of land. It's basically like, what do you call it? Monaco, Vatican, Monte Carlo, Singapore, like a city state. And so after a few months of press and, hey, there's a new country, etc., Croatia was like, we don't like this. They put a police blockade around the land that has been enforced for the past 4 years. Now, that has not stopped the spirit of Lieberland at all. Like I said, it's continued to grow. I got to meet with the president, vice president, secretary of state, all these guys last fall by coincidence. And I was like, hey, I have my own podcast. Do you guys have a podcast for the country? And they're like, well, someone tried to start one, but kind of fell off. I'm like, I can do the Lieberland show. And just after getting to know everyone in Lieberland, that seems to be how most things work, is you get the green light to just do whatever you want. And if you do something, quote unquote, stupid, someone will slap you on the wrist and be like, hey, don't do that anymore. So thankfully, the Lieberland show has gone over really well. We just released episode 34 yesterday. And
very cool.
Oh, man, I could definitely talk about Lieberland forever. So
what's the population in Lieberland? Do you know offhand?
Right now, the current population is probably... it's probably less than 100, to be honest. I don't know off the top of my head, but we have over a half, it's probably 750,000 now applications for citizenship. So people are just pouring in to the point where our infrastructure almost can't handle some of these requests. And, you know, we have to be very cautious in the things that we do, because the nation is so young and there's all types of things just in regards to Croatia and Serbia. Thankfully, Serbia has been very supportive with us. The first Lieberland airport is actually probably going to be on the Serbian side of the Danube River. That's in discussion right now. So There's just all kinds of.
Oh my God. Okay, so it's it says it's a blockchain nation. So wait.
Oh yeah, there's some other things I left out here. Yeah.
You can really move there, well, and become their citizen, and wow.
Yeah. Let's apply, Josh.
Yeah,
no, we have some connections.
I'm confused.
So. You guys do. You guys have connections and you guys have skills. So we're always looking for talented people to get involved.
Oh, wow.
Josh McCallum for president of Lieberland in 2021.
No, thank you.
He's got nine
here.
Kids.
I love being an American. Where at least I know I'm free. So, boy, that is a whole rabbit hole of coolness. We got to go into that rabbit hole on another show.
Yeah.
We got to get into your... You know, this, you hear why I call him your brother from another mother, right, Eric?
Absolutely.
I mean, the guy is out professionally producing podcasts and positioning these new brands for incredible growth.
Yeah, well, he's definitely one-upped or 10-upped me. He's got a podcast for an entire nation. So that's pretty cool, man. I love that.
And who are your guests? Are people investing in Lieberland right now? Can you buy land there?
Buying land, I can't say for sure, again, just because the Lieberland itself is so small. But there's definitely investors involved with a lot of different aspects of the country. We have over 90 representatives in different countries. I think the average Lieberlandian speaks three languages or something like that. We joke about whatever the national food's going to be one day, just because we have so many people from all over the world. And then I did leave this out, which is a pivotal aspect of Lieberland, is taxation is voluntary. So basically, if you want to live in Lieberland, if you want to be a citizen and you want your vote to basically count towards whatever the government's doing, then you pay your taxes. If you just want to be a citizen, you just want to set up a business there, you don't care who's running what, etc. It's up to you. You don't have to pay. It's all good.
So are you a citizen of Lieberland?
I'm working on my citizenship right now.
Gotcha.
Working on it right now. It is a process. Another important aspect that I didn't really mention is, you know, just the trust component. I technically met these guys less than a year ago. So they've never said this to me, but I'm sure there's a certain trust level that we just have to, you know, get comfortable, because we're busy founding the country. And if you want to consider me a founding father or whatever, you know, we really have to make sure that we're well vetted, because we're really building from the ground up in all aspects. And the country currency is also a cryptocurrency. That's kind of goes along with the fact that we're built on the blockchain.
Yeah, I love that. I imagine as the host of the Lieberland show, you would have to, right? You'd have to be a citizen at some point, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm, I guess you could say I'm earning my stripes right now. It's on the way.
That's so cool, man. But Josh, where do you want to take this? Because I'm really interested.
I want to go into real estate.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're working with some powerful brands. I mean, this Cashflow Connection and Hunter Thompson. You're also working with, I mean, it sounds like you've gotten to know some great people in Lane and MC Laubscher. Tell us what's going on. I met you at a real estate training, obviously. What is your aspiration there? What kind of deals are you currently doing?
Yeah. So with Concordia, you know, first of all, we're a boutique shopping center investment firm. Been in business close to 30 years. I can't say that I was a part of the first 29 years, but you know, been around for a while. And we partner with institutional real estate investors and have passive investment offerings for high net worth real estate investors. And then shifting to ASIM. Similar private equity real estate firm that focuses on recession-resistant assets such as self-storage, mobile home parks, and workforce housing. So in regards to deal flow or how we underwrite our deals, metrics like that, you know, I'm still relatively new to the industry, but can definitely give you some insight that might add some value to our listeners.
Please, please teach us.
So I would say with Concordia, I want to flip it back to you. If you have any questions specifically about retail, mobile home park, self-storage, you know, what do you want to know?
Let's talk about that. So you joined Concordia how long ago?
Michael and I actually met for the first time about a year ago at Freedom Fest, but we didn't start working closely together until around the same time that I just referenced Lieberland, which was late September,
Early
October.
So In that, we're talking about retail shopping centers. So, you know, you would think that's an industry that's in danger with Amazon. Tell us what's going on in that world.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there with Amazon. They are one of the reasons why me personally, I am bullish on retail. Well, first of all, I would say I've just generally always been the kind of guy who goes left when everyone else is looking right. And so the stigma around retail right now is not necessarily stinky, but, you know, people are definitely very cautious. because of that, you know, all markets move in cycles, and I'm sure there's definitely going to be a retail comeback eventually here. And it'll be nice to be someone who's an expert and knowledgeable in the field when it does become popular again.
Now, Michael, who I've met, is he currently actively syndicating some investments right now?
Yep. So we haven't syndicated any deals since I've been a part of the company, but we are definitely seriously looking at a few options right now. I think for the sake of our own privacy and the privacy of who we're doing these deals with, I can't say too much, but we've definitely got something in the pipeline. So I would say for anyone who's interested in a coming soon opportunity in retail, there's definitely an opportunity that we're really excited about right now. And I think within the next month or so, we should definitely have some more information for investors. There was another, did you ask me another question? ASIM? I'm trying to remember.
I just wanted to ask you about ASIM. So ASIM, is that an active private placement? Like are they currently looking for investors, and how does it work?
Yes. Yeah. We are currently looking for investors. We've been in business for, I want to say 7 or 8 years. Hunter Thompson, the managing principal, has done an amazing job of growing our investor base. I think we have something around 300 active investors in a database of over 1,000. So he's really crushing it, and credit to the podcast as well. But we have a new offering right now as well that, again, if anyone's interested, they could reach out to me. It's workforce housing in the San Antonio market. And it's with some partners of ours that we seriously vetted. Hunter is probably one of the most picky people I've ever met in the best way possible. And so for him to give anyone the green light, I mean, the fact that I even get to say he's my business partner and work with him is just like huge honor. So this is a pretty sweet deal.
I'll tell you, Eric, feel free to if you want to dig in on those things. I also would love to hear more about, you know, when we were talking to Adam and he got all pumped up about joining us on the, you know, Capital Hacking Show. He said, I love the show because you guys focus on more than one form of capital. And I said, well, that's our whole claim to fame, is that capital can be defined as power, and power is actually just the whatever it takes to get the momentum and force moving. So it takes human capital, then it will attract cash capital. And you talked all about your human capital. What do you think when you think in terms of human capital, Adam? Like, why does that motivate you?
I think when I think in terms of human capital, I think of this right here as a perfect example of us getting to know each other, interacting and networking. And I've gravitated towards that early here in my career because I'm really building from the ground up. I didn't have a dad that was already in the industry or, you know, anyone to kind of hold my hand through this. And so to get to even where I'm at right now, which I still consider very well the beginning, it's all been through networking and getting to know new people and building that human resource. So I love it. Talking and making friends does thankfully come easy to me. And that's how I view human capital, really, is that right there.
Would you consider that, you know, building networks and meeting people relatively easily, forming a relationship, as one of your superpowers?
I definitely would. And I guess, you know, that's, I said I didn't have a dad who was in the business. My dad still is in sales, and I definitely take after him in regards to a lot of the things that we're discussing right now, making friends and influencing people.
Did you say earlier before we got on the show, you were talking about how LinkedIn, you have a whole program you're working on in LinkedIn, and what are some other strategies you're doing right now to build your network?
I started with LinkedIn. I kind of laid off of a lot of Facebook and Instagram usage. And I started to realize that everything that I was doing on LinkedIn was easily able to be replicated on other platforms. So right now I'm actually taking a Udemy course on Instagram and how to be more productive with that. But again, I think I'm most passionate about LinkedIn because it's a place where I know I stand out a little bit more than the rest, because a lot of people are afraid to really just say things on LinkedIn. I think because it's a professional environment and they're, you know, concerned that it might damage their reputation. Now, I guess maybe if you're working for a specific firm and you just kind of want to keep your head down and that type of thing, it makes sense to me. But I realized, I mean, to stand out on LinkedIn, all it takes is a little bit of consistency and just being real with people. For example, like I'll post videos of me going for a run sometime and just like dancing or something weird like that. And those will be the videos that get the most views and likes for me on LinkedIn rather than me typing today in the San Antonio market, blah, blah, blah. Like, so I know some people on LinkedIn don't like that because they're like, oh, it's professional, etc. But it's really, it's turning into another form of Facebook and Instagram, and you kind of have to evolve with how things go.
Yeah, especially given that LinkedIn, they're pushing all their chips into the video platform. I know some people have become beta testers, and they're really working on working out the kinks. So yeah, I agree with you that it's going to eventually move into sort of that Facebook type of tool, where people are going to have to start leveraging and creating new content for LinkedIn, and not necessarily throw a suit on. But yeah, it could be a little bit more casual. So it's really cool how everybody is sort of evolving, including these major platforms.
Yeah. I've said things like called people what's like bro, like what's up bro, or what's up man, like that type of stuff on LinkedIn more in the past 3 months than I have in the past 3 years.
So. Yeah. Yeah. What I've noticed that's been oversaturated now, is the direct messaging. People are abusing that on LinkedIn. So anyone who's listening, you know, yes, there was a time and place where that was not common. And I just want a sort of public service announcement. All of those folks who are really hot and heavy with the LinkedIn platform direct messaging needs to sort of slow down or stop, because now it's white noise.
Yeah. You bring another thing to my attention here. And this is, I guess, more of just a follow-up for any of our listeners. Reach out to me, connect with me on LinkedIn, because there are some dynamic groups that I'm involved with on there that have helped exponentially grow my network. And again, because we don't necessarily have time to go into the details, but I do direct message with some of these people that I've met on there. And it's amazing how I've never even seen them face to face before. And we do feel like best friends. I've had a couple on my podcast before. So the DMing does work, but from a sales perspective, there's a great quote from someone that I get a lot of lessons from on LinkedIn, Joe Applebaum. And he says, if you're going to be selling, you're going to be smelling.
Yeah, I think I 100% agree with, you know, it's still powerful, but having plug and play content or pre-written messages, that's the white noise that I'm talking about.
Man,
and what you're talking about is very on a personal level. You know, you've reached out to me there and it went to emails, and but it felt more personal. It didn't feel like a bot. You know, and that's where people are starting to lose, you know, the power of it is when you become automatic with it and start systematizing it to the degree where it's not personal anymore.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's one of my biggest fears, I would say, with all social media moving forward, is because it can be very time consuming. But I think users can engage, and it sounds weird, but they can really feel when it's actually you. On all aspects, instead of a robot. So that's one thing I'm a little bit nervous about as I continue to grow my brand, because I don't want to be on my phone all day, you know, but we'll see.
Wow, that's a great point, because, you know, with the various ways Eric always tells me, make sure we're on all our social media feedback and giving feedback. And I couldn't agree more, Eric. But it does become a little time consuming. And I also have this... we have a constant content creation pipeline coming. I know Eric does, I always do, of content related to capital hacking. And we think we can add a lot of value there by just helping people realize to be strategic with each of their actions. Make sure, you know, for capital hacking, we always want to achieve more than one goal for every, or one outcome for every effort. So we always want to, getting to know you, Adam, part of it is because you're in real estate, part of it's because you're in social media.
And you're just, you're kind of cutting edge. You're kind of helping keep Eric and I connected to like a different generation and just really understanding what's going on. This Lieberland thing is blowing my mind. Maybe for half the audience, it's blowing their mind too. But I love the fact that you're so focused on education-based marketing, education-based value first. And you know that show Bigger Pockets, Adam? Have you ever listened to Bigger Pockets?
Absolutely.
We're big fans of those guys. And Brandon Turner, Adam Green, Josh Dorkin sometimes is still on there. But David Green talks a lot about something that you are a master at. And that is, if you want to be mentored by these thought leaders or power brokers like you are, with knowing MC Laubscher personally is incredible, or knowing Hunter Thompson directly, or Michael Falk, you know them. But I figured out how you know so many powerful people. And it's the David Green strategy. You need to add value first and be others focused. I mean, you epitomize that, Adam. Did you know that about yourself, or isn't that how you got into all those great relationships?
That's a really good point. And I think you make a good point here in a way that I could add value, especially I would say to our younger listeners that are tuned in today, is figure out what you're good at. Seriously, figure out what you're good at and reach out to these people that you know can add value to your life, and kind of show them what you can do for them without expecting anything in return. With Michael, I knew that I wanted to work with him. I just had to figure out how to win him over, basically. And so I had his son, Salvatore, who's a very talented individual, just graduated from college, on my show back. This is like before I even had my show on iTunes or anything like that. I had Sal as a guest on Dream Chasers because I was like, wow, this kid's 21. He's insanely smart. I got to get him on the show. And I think that's really when I began to win Michael's heart over without even realizing it. Because then I reached out to him, like I said, last fall. And he immediately was like, when can we talk? And I was like, oh, all right. So just give. And even my show Dream Chasers, I created it because I wanted to create this platform for people that I saw a promising future in whatever it is that they're working on. I wanted to highlight that, so that way you can be like, wow, keep your eyes on this guy, because he was on Dream Chasers. He's 5 years from now, it's going to be pretty impressive where he's going to be at. And you know, I like getting my brand out there too. Like, I got to be honest about that. But putting others first, I think that's what we pretty much learned at Real Estate Guys Conference the other weekend, right, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely. Others first, man. It's an old-fashioned principle, but it's based in the Golden Rule, I guess, and it's based in Dale Carnegie's, my mentor of how to win friends and influence people from the 1920s and 30s when he was writing that book. The guy was so profoundly others-focused, and Zig Ziglar says it the best. You can achieve or get whatever you want if you give everyone else what they want. I mean, that's where it's obvious that that's what you do first. And that's why David Green, who always tells you that he gets like, hundreds and hundreds of people ask him, how can we work with you, David? Or can we take you out for coffee? And he reminds people that you really need to seek how can I add value to you first before I ask anything in return?
Absolutely. Just wanted to remind the listeners and folks that are driving in their cars and enjoying all this content, we are talking to Adam J. Carswell, real estate investor and Adampreneur and connector and podcaster extraordinaire. So we'll be right back, folks, in just a second.
Are you ready to invest in real estate but don't have the time or enough education to do it by yourself? Accountable Equity helps accredited investors who are looking for tax-advantaged investments. So anyone looking for a team of professionals who hold themselves accountable with theirs and your real estate investments, Accountable Equity is your boots-on-the-ground team. Their mission is to bring private offerings to their investors and their clients. With a team of committed and experienced investors themselves, Accountable Equity is always looking for partners to participate in alternative investments which extend beyond publicly traded equities like stocks. Accountable Equity makes alternative passive cash flow possible for more people than ever before in our economy. To find out more, visit AccountableEquity.com. That's AccountableEquity.com. Or look for them on LinkedIn or Facebook. That's AccountableEquity.com or Accountable Equity. That's Accountable Equity, your partner for true passive real estate investments.
So we're back. with our wonderful and esteemed host here, and Josh McCallan, and also our guest of honor, Adam J. Carswell.
So, Adam, Dream Chasers is a killer podcast. As a matter of fact, I want to make sure everybody starts to get to know how to reach back out to you. So you were sharing earlier that you love LinkedIn as a way to grow your network. You and Eric shared with us, make sure we do not abuse it. And then the Dream Chasers show. How do we find the Dream Chasers show?
Best way to subscribe to Dream Chasers, depending on your preference, right? Because some people like Spotify, some like iTunes, Stitcher, etc. We're on all major platforms, even YouTube and Facebook. You can just type in, go to Google or whatever you use on your web search, type in Dream Chasers, Adam Carswell, and you should find a link that will take you to whatever your preference is.
Tell me about, real quick, how did you come up with the name and the brand and everything like that?
I think the name really just came to me, and I can't say that it was, you know, there's other things out there called Dream Chasers, so I can't take too much credit for it, but the name just came to me. Interviews with the future. I gravitated towards using the future as kind of like the shiny object within the name, because we all are intrigued to a certain extent about the future. Like, you just, at least for me personally, I always want to know about the future. So if I could make a show catered to talking about the future, I think, I was like, from a marketing perspective, I think that's a good idea. So
it's so compelling. And that brings me to the segment of the show, you know, where we want to ask Adam, if you could design like a way to get your message out and change. I always say it's called the law of attraction section, or the seek and ye shall find. What are you seeking right now? Because once you start saying it, I think it all will start finding its way to you. What are you working on right now?
Yeah, right now, I want to say that one thing that I do pretty consistently today, actually, I didn't do it, but I so that's just me being honest. I normally, I'd say 90% of the time, journal every day except for on the weekends. And so my daily, that's something I started maybe like this past December, so not for too long. But first of all, I fell in love with journaling. I highly recommend it to anyone out there. There's no right or wrong way to do it either. That's how I would preach it to anyone, is just do what comes naturally to you. And so for me, normally about half of my journal entry every day will be my goals and my mission. And then the other half will be whatever it is that I'm getting ready to do for that day, or you know, whatever, because I try to do it in the morning. So sorry to answer the question. I actually like to focus this one more on my mission, because I think that sometimes we forget that if you are tied to a mission, goals still matter, but the mission is what's going to really carry you to, it's like your why, I think, right? It'll never die. A mission is something that goes on even after Adam, Josh, and Eric move on to whatever's next for us. So my mission, which I've only shared this publicly one time before, and it was on the last episode of Dream Chasers. So here we go. And actually, you could probably look back through my journal. It's to establish a financial foundation for the next 90 generations of Carswells.
And whoa.
And I used to write, when I first started journaling, I think I used to write 9 generations. And then I read 10X by Grant Cardone, and I was like, might as well make it 90.
Wow. Do the math there. What year is that?
It's roughly 3,000 years.
Wow.
And I think that another valuable thing that I learned recently, I read the book 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel, and he talks about how right now it seems like everyone's mostly concerned about what's going to be happening 2 to 3 weeks from now, that a large portion of our society has forgotten how to be more concerned about what's going to happen 20 to 30 years from now. And so I want to use this time to encourage everyone out there to dream big, because you can, and because it's laying right there for you.
Love it.
I think that's where we gotta give that to the audience as they're driving around. That's incredible.
Yeah, I like this guy.
Thank you,
Josh,
Adam.
Josh is awesome.
Thank you, Adam.
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show, brother. Appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Had a good time.
Wow. Wow, you made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media.
Absolutely.
By the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary V, he's my boy.
But Gary V also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life, and thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week, and we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to, and we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.